big nuclear time bombs. Holy overeating. Holy roller coasters.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for the Lion Sidekick Podcast.
Hey, 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 heroes. Welcome back for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. I'm Tom Pounder, your host. And this is where ministers come to get some cool tips and tricks and ideas on how to do ministry more effectively in a very digital and online world. And today I'm excited to have a first-time guest on the podcast with me. His name is Ray DeArmas, and he is a pastor at Christ Fellowship Church in Miami, Florida, where it's definitely warmer in Miami than it is in Virginia most of the time, although right now it's not so bad in Virginia, so I can't complain there. But Ray is a mutual friend of Jeff Reed and mine, and just like I've never met Jeff Reed, I've never met Ray before, but we've talked before, and Ray has a lot of great ideas and thoughts about online ministry and how you can use digital tools and online tools to help in the workplace environment, what you can do from a digital perspective to help and enable people in a workplace environment so that they can go and make disciples. So it's really cool. I'm really excited about having him on the podcast and talking about this. So without any further ado, let's get in the podcast right now, talking with Ray about workplace opportunities using digital tools. Okay, with me right now is Ray DeArmas. Ray, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks, Tom, for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, this is the first time you and I have talked before, but This is the first time you've been on my podcast. So I'm very grateful that you are joining me today.
Well, I love the online community. I love how it's growing. I love how it's thriving. And I love most of all about how it's about sharing resources and helping each other. And really there's, it's funny coming out of doing ministry in a physical campus where it feels like churches are like stepping on each other's toes and worried about like transfer growth and this kind of thing. I found the online church community is completely different in the sense of, now we're not in competition. We're all helping each other. Like we all got the same vision of reaching people.
Yeah.
And so it's pretty phenomenal. So,
yes, I agree completely with you. Every online pastor that I've talked to has been so open about sharing, you know, what they're doing and how they're doing it and really encouraging me. So it's been fantastic. I agree completely.
Yeah. I've already like, you know, been the beneficiary of so many folks. And so I appreciate just all the different people that have joined in. And if you're out there, let me encourage you, reach out to Tom, reach out to myself and reach out to others. You'd be surprised how many people are willing and open to share resources for free. It's good.
Well, that's exactly right. So, well, Ray, just to give people a heads up on who you are and what you do and how you got started, why don't you share for a few minutes about that?
Sure. So I serve here at Christ Fellowship in Miami. There are two Christ Fellowships in South Florida. We are the further south one.
Interesting.
Yeah, I know. It's been a branding issue for quite some time. Not for them. They're fantastic us mostly. But but I serve here as the church online pastor. We've been reaching a lot of people online. We've got online community going on. And, you know, we've been doing it in multiple languages as well, because Miami is a very diverse community. And so we've had to reach people in Spanish. We pulled back for a little bit with some of the things that we were doing on Spanish online, but it's getting ready to come back real strong. I got started in ministry really reluctant. I'm sure like many pastors out there, I did not see myself doing this, did not want to get into it, did not know about it. And really just started kind of as a need, you know, at a smaller church, and our youth pastor had quit. And so somebody needed to fill the shoes. And they're like, well, Ray, you can speak, you know, pretty well. Why don't you go ahead and get up there and give it a shot? Next thing you know, things are working out. Next thing you know, I'm arguing with God in prayer saying, no, I really don't want to do this. And he's saying, no, you really need to be doing this. And so, kind of went through seminary, did that. And then, it's an interesting thing. So as I was starting seminary, I met the love of my life and she and I started dating. And because I was starting seminary and because she was, you know, just wrapping up her master's degree down here, we had to spend a lot of our relationship online and distant and far apart. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we were blessed enough that technology had arrived at this point in 2007, 2008, where now FaceTime was starting to become a thing.
Yeah.
And so, hey, both of us had Macs and this worked out great. And so we were able to speak face to face every night. Man, what a concept.
Yeah, that's right.
on developing a lifelong relationship, and it sure beat the phone. And no offense to those of you who lived in this era, but it sure beat writing letters back and forth. And as great as it was, I still wouldn't replace it with having Lauren, you know, face to face, but yeah. It was just a great way to build a relationship. And then in the midst of that, Lauren, my wife, is her family is from Brazil. And then she's also got some family that lives in Kansas City. Mm. When we were getting married, and this is in 2009, when we were getting married, a lot of her family couldn't fly out to Miami to be part of the wedding. Now this caused all sorts of tears and sobbing and just kind of broke down relationships. But at the time I was working at the Apple store while I was in seminary. And I said, no, I think we can come up with a solution for this. And so we decided at the time. And for those of you who are like, oh, that's no big deal. Listen, it was innovative then. We streamed our entire wedding.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so, you know, her grandmother was able to watch it in real time. Mm. And her family in Kansas City was able to watch it in real time. And so this was kind of the first introduction of this kind of thing to us, and where I started to see, hey, this could be a serious relational tool that can bring people together mm-hmm. and really, you know, bring some real great emotional moments together and help connect people. Fast forward, finished up in seminary, came to Christ Fellowship, started interning, started working my way up through small groups. And I got involved in a lot of different things, but everybody knew that I had a good handle on the tech world and tech stuff. And so they kept seeing me for this kind of role, even though I helped launch a physical campus and even though I helped do that. And so eventually came the time where I was able to work into this role and work with some great people. And here we are.
That's awesome. So how many years have you been doing it?
So online pastor,
yes.
We're just wrapping up year one.
Okay.
In terms of me being in this role.
Okay.
And it's been such an interesting shift from moving from leading a physical campus to leading a digital environment. It has been an interesting shift, but a great one. Grateful yeah. for it.
Man, okay. Well, I'm going to have you on to talk about that transition, because that's a great podcast topic right
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
I think that's fantastic. That'll be one of the next times I have you on. Okay. But your passion, again, you and I've talked, we have a mutual friend, Jeff Reed. Mm-hmm. Which you actually probably, you know Jeff Reed. I just know him through Twitter and internet and, you know, different podcasts and stuff. But he's my friend. So we have a mutual friend, but we've talked a few different times, and I love your passion and love your excitement for this online community and how you can use technology to reach people. You were talking about to me about opportunities that we may have in the workplace. So what does that mean? What does that look like that you're thinking about?
You know, the more and more that I engage with folks who are not churched, the more and more I'm finding out that part of their reasoning for not visiting church or coming to church isn't because they're not resistant to church. It's that they legitimately have a crowded schedule both in their weeks and on the weekend. Yeah. I think culture is seeing a strong shift, and we've been seeing this over time. We've seen this stuff from Barna and from different folks as far as how we are coming into a de-churched culture, mm-hmm. you know? And part of what I'm looking at and what I'm seeing is the fact that people are inundated with activities on the weekends, family activities, like well-meaning family activities.
Yep.
Down here in South Florida, Little League Baseball is year-round.
Yes.
Almost all sports are year-round. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that people are – they would love to check out church. They would love to engage with church. But just guess what? Like, they just have no other space and time in the schedule to kind of pack in there. And yeah. It's not because they're not family people, and it's not because they're not trying to lead their families well or they don't care. It's quite the opposite. They are trying to engage their families. They are yeah. trying to spend quality time together. They are trying to put down the devices and trying to find different ways to engage in face-to-face environments with their kids and even with other adults that are in their same, you know, age range and space of life. And as I engage more and more with these folks, I'm even seeing the camaraderie at work grow in a way that I don't even see happening in neighborhoods. Like, I had the privilege with shadowing my sister at the hospital. My sister is a physician's assistant at a hospital in the nearby area. And the camaraderie amongst her coworkers is so great. They're in each other's lives. They know what's going on. They know about each other's kids. They've met each other's families. They've engaged with one another. And these are non-believers. These are folks, gay, straight, different relationships, different ages and spaces in life, all put together in a similar work environment. And to actually genuinely care for one another. And it's funny because, you know, the show The Office kind of brought this out where it's like, oh yeah, we legitimately do spend a lot of time in those 40 hours in a week, or in some cases now 45, 50 hours, depending on how much work you're taking home or working overtime or just having relational fun with your coworkers, that it creates these spaces for spiritual conversation that don't have to be offensive. They don't have to be offensive, but they also create great opportunity to share content that we have with one another.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I agree with you completely. I mean, all the stats, again, I love what you were talking about, how sports are year-round. And now in sunny Florida, it's beautiful. You get to go outside year-round. We have to go inside these little small little warehouses, freeze our butts off when my girls are playing softball or doing something like that. But they are. And I love what you said. Families are well-meaning. They want community with their family. They want community with their friends. They want community with their coworkers. It's just not enough time in the day to get it all done.
No. And what I'm finding too is, you know, we think that oh, well, the first thing that should be on their list if they've got spare time is coming to see us on a Sunday morning. Yeah. And it's just, it's a struggle. It really is legitimately hard. And so, you know, to me, this is where digital content and great environments can help connect people in community, but also can provide you with that great online to offline community right where you're at.
Yeah. I agree with you on this a lot, because when I used to work with Young Life, and when I went to Young Life, I went to a church that had Saturday night services. Mm-hmm. I would go to the Saturday night service so I could sleep in on Sunday, and I could I completely understand why people don't want to go to church on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, it's much easier to engage on a Saturday night, and I felt the same way. Our two of our campuses offer Saturday night services down here. Yeah. And the more I thought about it, I was like, you know what, if I were on staff, that would be the service that I would engage in the most, because now on Sunday morning, I've got all this free time to engage with my family, to do a lot of different things, or even, especially down here in South Florida, there's this whole brunch culture that's developed, where brunch has become a time where people, once again, those coworker environments actually carry over into the weekend of, hey, let's meet up. And let's sit down and break bread and eat together during that brunch space and that brunch time. And they find more ways to connect with each other that they might not spend that time by taking time out of their schedule and walking into a church environment, because they want to eat. They want to make sure and engage in community. But they don't really want to sit there and be talked at. They want to engage in conversation.
Yeah, I agree. So what kind of stuff, what kind of digital content have you done or are you working on that is helping in this area right here?
So some of the things that we've done before is we did, and we took some training from Saddleback, and we did workplace small groups. And that was very helpful. And for those of you guys who are looking for it, you can Google it. I mean, Saddleback has been great about putting all their stuff for free on the web. And it's been awesome. If not, I'll send it over to Tom, and if he could throw it over in the show notes. But it's just been very helpful to help navigate a lot of those spaces. And we found that a lot of folks were open. A lot of people from the congregation were open when we kind of pitched it to them, as far as, hey, look, like, what if you did this? What if you started a Bible study at work? What if you took some of, and didn't even have to take like extra content? You know, we didn't have to create like specialized content for it. We were able to recycle some of our content for the weekend or for the workplace, excuse me, some of the weekend content and recycle it. Yeah. A lot of people think that they got to make catered content. And truth is, that's not always the case. It's taking good quality content and creating conversation around it.
Yeah.
So just by creating the right kind of conversation starters or the right kind of discussions, all of a sudden folks can start, you know, just a simple prayer group at work, or they can start something that's non-offensive, that doesn't have to ruffle the feathers of HR, that doesn't have to be a political stance or everything else that people are genuinely afraid of in terms of bringing Christianity into their environments, but that can legit be a place where they can share content with other folks, share content that's impacted them, and then allow them to once again to share it with other people. So yeah, so that's been some helpful ways that we've done it.
I love that, because I really do think you hit on something really important here, is that you said you don't need to create catered content. I think we overcomplicate things sometimes by saying, okay, if we're going to do this, we have to create this whole new content or get this whole new content. We have so much content now. And again, if you have any sort of YouTube channel or Facebook stuff or a blog, you can get all the content that you've already had very simply and just tailor it to that environment.
Absolutely. And, you know, for those of you churches who are using Right Now Media, just by even implementing and teaching your folks, hey, listen, like your small group isn't the only place where you can use this.
Yes.
Like, you can share and utilize this content in every area of your life. As you're encountering folks, you may find that a message or that a small study or whatever else may have an impact in terms of what somebody else is going through. Send them a link, give them your login, encourage them to watch it, you know, and then sit down with them and have a conversation with them over it. It can just be that simple. It can be about baby steps. It doesn't necessarily have to be about huge forward movement.
Yeah.
And some of the best conversations that I've seen developed, you know, between folks who are outside of church and somebody who's inside of church. My wife's a public school teacher. And a lot of people worry, and they're like, oh, well, you know, God's not allowed in the public school. Okay, but Christians are. And they can continue to be that. And if we give them content, if we give them content with handles through a YouTube channel, through Facebook, through some of the mediums through which that they can share this content, I mean, they're sharing photos of kids and of puppies and of all this other stuff. They can share content and create genuine conversation with some of the content that we're putting out there as well. We just got to teach them how, and we got to give them handles on how to do it.
Yeah. I love that you mentioned Right Now Media, because I think that's we don't use that, but I've been a part of many discussions with Right Now, and they have a ton of content that is so simple for people to use and involve. But also same thing with YouVersion. There's so many Bible studies that
yes.
you can pull from that you can make these group Bible studies. I do a lot of my online groups through YouVersion because of that.
YouVersion, let me tell you, there's a guy in our church that his job every day, he just takes the verse of the day mm-hmm. and he sends it to like a bulk list of his coworkers. And he works for a major company. I'm not going to out it, and we're not going to endorse it or anything like that. Yeah. But he works for a major company, but he does it with their permission. Like he approached them, asked them about it. And it's created a lot of great community and gospel centered conversations just around that. Or for some folks who just need a word of encouragement,
yeah,
you know, or they just need somebody to speak life into them, and it's scripture making an impact on them. You know, how great is that? How great is that? It's not some quote from a pastor. It's not some spiritual guru. It's direct scripture to their text message directly to them. And this is what he does every day, and it makes an impact on them. I got somebody else leveraging WhatsApp in a similar fashion. Every day, he'll write out a prayer. He'll just write out a prayer to God, include some scripture that he's reading in it, and sends it to folks in a group chat. And folks are chiming in and saying, man, thank you so much. You know, I needed that. And then it just creates more and more conversation. And some are believers, some aren't, you know? Yeah. And so it just opens them up even more to hearing the message of the gospel and even getting them involved in genuine Christian community. And they don't even know it. It's almost like, surprise, you're in a small group, you know? Like you had no idea. But it's such a great way to engage them in community without our parameters or structures. It's good.
I think that's awesome. I think that's fantastic. Okay, so one of the thoughts I was having while you were sharing is, do you ever have any pushback from people to say, this sounds like a great idea, Ray, I like this, but I don't want to make waves in my community, my coworkers. I just want to, you know, live my life. I don't want to cause a stir. I'm going to get in trouble. Do you get any pushback from people like that?
Absolutely. And I understand that. And to them, I would encourage them and say, hey, you know what? That's okay. Like, you know, I don't want to force you in an environment where you're going to feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And I also don't want the person who's going to come out there, and I don't want the super zealot on the other side to come out here and get himself in trouble and tear down the name of Jesus. You know, there's a fine line that we've all got to walk in terms of our workplace, in which we've got to, you know, keep an upstanding, you know, Christian witness. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, you know, we've got to make sure, and yeah, we're not going to be out there and we're not going to push our culture on other folks. That was one of the great things that I got to experience while I was working at Apple, while I was attending, you know, seminary, was I had like a bit of both worlds in that I'm going to school every day alongside other Christians, alongside other pastors. And so I'm inundated in that environment. And then I'm checking out of there to go walk into an environment in which few people know Jesus personally, maybe nobody, maybe one or two. And then the folks who do have an understanding or have a church background have a negative view towards it, or they're de-church simply because they're walking away or they were asked to leave a church environment. So they're struggling in those areas too. But at the same time, what I found more often than not is that the relationship that I had with those individuals would help bridge any kind of objections that they had to hearing about my beliefs, mm-hmm. even to the point where whenever cultural things would come up in the news or whatever else, they would come to me and ask me my thoughts about it. And, hey, Ray, are you offended by X, Y, and Z? And I'd in a loving spirit, I would say, sometimes, yeah, and sometimes no. And here, you know, do you really want to hear? And then I would even broach the subject by saying, do you really want to hear my thoughts about this? Yeah. Yeah, I'd love to hear your thoughts. And here we go. And it creates great conversation. But it was born out of my love for them. And it was born out of the genuine relationship that we had. It was not born out of making a point or being right. So
yeah, I love what you just said, because it really centers around the relationship. Again, there is going to be some angst and anxiety about going and sharing about Jesus to somebody else. But if you have a legitimate friendship with a coworker or even a neighbor or someone on your sports team, they're going to want to hear what you think about it. If you've earned that right, if you built up that trust with them, there's going to have some natural conversation, and you're going to want to hear what their thoughts are on a subject matter, and you'll have a healthy discussion. I think we get so wrapped up in social media these days of just shouting out our opinion without ever listening to people. Mm-hmm. But real relationships don't operate like that. And you giving digital tools and opportunities for these people to use in their work environments can go a really long way to taking that relationship, and maybe they'll eventually come to church. Someone else will, because of that.
That's right. So, you know, we use the term like planting a seed, right? And you never know when you are planting that seed. And yeah. More often than not nowadays, and especially with younger generations coming up, I mean, we could talk about Gen Z all day long, because that's my kids. And I think about them like left and right in terms of how they're engaging with content, what kind of content they're engaging with, the fact that their world is changing, the fact that, you know, the kind of resources, God willing, that they're going to have to help them grow in their faith are going to be better than what I have, and help them be more obedient, and not just be more knowledgeable about Christianity, but be more obedient, you know, in their following of Jesus. But it's those types of things and making them shareable that are so great. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you could think I can try and drag my friends to church like all day long, or I can bring church to them.
Yeah. This is awesome, man. I'm like super stoked. I actually wish I worked in a secular workplace right now so I could go do this stuff myself, because I agree completely with you. I think this is fantastic stuff, and I know it's very encouraging. So that's really cool. Well, I think it's awesome what you guys are doing. I think, you know, hearing from you again, I get to hear from you with when you're on the podcast with Jeff and everything like that. So it's awesome. Any other final thoughts you have on this before we wrap up?
Yeah, I want to encourage you guys. So if we're supposed to be equipping people to do the work of the ministry, right? Mm-hmm. And so if that's our charge for those of us who are called and in some cases paid ministers, like if that's our job, then why not give them great content and encourage them to share it with other folks, and not necessarily be afraid to unleash them, but rather encourage them to unleash this content, you know, to their friends and coworkers in a loving way, mm-hmm. encourage them and give them the handles and the tools to do so. Like I said, it doesn't have to be curated and specialized content. It's taking what you already got mm-hmm. in the simple and just giving them ideas as to how to do it. And trust me, they love their friends and family members and coworkers. They want to see them come to know Jesus. They spend more time with them than their own families in many cases. Give them the tools and handles on how to do so.
That is awesome. That is encouraging. Tell me real quick about, as we wrap up, about your podcast with Jeff and where people can find that. And I'll include all the links in the show notes, but tell me about that.
Yeah, so the Church Digital really just kind of started off of this idea of Jeff and I a couple of years ago, last year, we went to the PushPay Summit, and we were just so impressed by the amount of people that we were able to see and talk to and learn from about how church online is functioning in so many different environments. Jeff since then has transitioned out of Christ Fellowship. You know, he's the church online Pope here. He helped start this whole thing and get it going and make it happen, and has such a great vision for it. And he's since gone on to start the Church Digital. to help other churches, you know, get their stuff launched. And so if you want to know more about it, you know, definitely check that out. But this podcast was born out of the idea of we wanted to learn from different people and see what was happening in so many different corners of the country or even the world, and see how God was allowing other folks to leverage this stuff. And so we were like, man, why not start a podcast so that other people can learn alongside of us? Mm-hmm. Because we don't have all the answers. We're learning just like everybody else. And we want to encourage other people to learn alongside of us. And, you know, we've been doing this podcast now for maybe a few months. Mm-hmm. We've already got a lot of episodes under our belt, but man, have I learned so much just by asking questions of others. And so learn alongside of us. Find us on iTunes, Spotify, wherever else, you know, make us part of your listening regimen and join in on the conversation and have fun.
Yes. It is a great podcast. They work very well together and their interviews are awesome. So I get encouraged all the time. I mean, seriously, love listening to your podcast. So I really appreciate it. So
thanks so much. And I'm looking forward to the episode where we have the roundtable Avengers Endgame discussion with Tom. I know it's coming soon. The nerd in me cannot wait and wants to unleash like the Hulk and have fun with it. I can't wait.
Well, my respect for you just went up 1,000-fold to the fact that you worked for Apple. So that was
But I'm still not buying a Mac Pro for $6,000. That's still not happening.
or one of those stands for the monitors for $1,000. I won't do that either. So
that's true. Yeah.
All right, Ray. Well, it was awesome. I cannot wait to have you back on the podcast. So thanks so much for joining me today.
Looking forward to it, Tom. Thanks again.
All right. So there you have it, my conversation with Ray. It was awesome having him on the podcast and talking about these opportunities and different ways that you can use digital tools in the workplace. So I thought it was really awesome. And I would love to hear your thoughts on it. What did you think about the conversation? What stood out to you on that? How can you use some digital tools that you are using, or how can you use content in your environment and put them on digital so you can help enable other people to go and make disciples? I think it's fascinating. Again, digital stuff is really helpful, useful tools that people can just access at any point or any part of their daily life. And so we have this great opportunity. This is where we have to enable and mobilize people in the workplace and in other environments as well to be using those digital tools to help reach people for Christ. So I thought it was fantastic. I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. What are you doing? How are you using them? Share it with me. Let's continue the conversation online. Again, I'm at Twitter, at TA Pounder. All right, heroes. Well, that wraps it up for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. Thanks so much for joining me. As always, you can go to iTunes and subscribe to the podcast. You can go to Spotify and subscribe to it. Or you can go to ymsidekick.com, where you can get all my content there, the blog, the podcast, some vlogs, the Twitter ebook, also information on the free Facebook group called Digital Bootcamp, where we're talking about digital tools to help expand our reach in our ministries. We talk about a lot of different digital and tech stuff there, and you can get information about that at ymsidekick.com today and join in for free. It would be awesome. We'd love to have you. All right, heroes, well, I hope you have a great rest of the day, a great rest of the week, and until next time, have a great one.